Good, we're off. Can you hear me?
I can.
Marvellous, okay. Let me just tell you one little thing out of interest. I used to be in a tribute band as well.
You used to what?
Be in a tribute band.
A tribute band?
Neil Young.
You wouldn't catch me in a tribute band, tell you.
Crazy stuff.
Oh, Neil Young, really?
Yeah, I was Neil Young.
Oh, brilliant.
This was probably in about 97. I joined a Neil Young tribute band as the second guitarist, as Poncho, effectively. Although I'm way too skinny for Poncho. And things didn't really work out, and kind of the bassist and drummer came with me, and we started another, and I kind of moved up to Neil Young. I'm a huge Neil Young fan. That's one of the reasons. For me, it's a labour of love.
There's a lot of musos in the area that I live, and they're all into Neil Young.
Ah, okay, good.
Yeah, Neil Young seems to be the musician's favourite.
I he's certainly one of them. I think it's because he's similar maybe to Johnny Cash in many ways, you know, very real kind of character. He walked and talked it. Okay, so let's get on to that, shall we? So, why Johnny Cash?
Why Johnny Cash?
Yeah.
Because the way that he sings suits the timbre of my voice and the attitude in which he performs. There's no fancy sort of mannerisms or movements, and that's why I like it. Also, I was told by a lot of people that I sound more like Johnny Cash than Johnny Cash does.
You certainly do sound very like Johnny Cash.
So that's why I did it. And also, a friend of mine passed away. I'm 39 now. I've only just turned 39, which is depressing, but there we go. And a friend of mine passed away when I was 30. Now, he was only 28. And he had a brain tumour, and he passed away, very sadly. And about 6 months before he died, he gave me a Johnny Cash CD, and I knew of him, Johnny Cash, but I didn't really, you know, focus on him. I was doing my own songs, and I listened to it, and he said that I should follow it up, and then he passed on 6 months afterwards, and then I listened to the CD more and more, and then I began to develop my show, and it's just got carried away, really.
So how long have you been doing the Johnny Cash Roadshow?
The first creation of it was called The Man in Black, and that was back in 2005.
Yeah.
And then I was going to call the show that back in those days that I didn't think that there was going to be like a theatre show. That just sort of altered over the years. And then when I went to own themaninblack.com, that was going to cost about £50,000. So I thought, I think I better call this something else. So I called it the Johnny Cash Roadshow, and I've been doing it. It's been a professional touring theatre show for about nearly 5 years.
5 years. How many shows do you do a year, roughly?
I haven't actually counted. I think probably about 90.
Wow, that's per year. Is that always in the UK or Europe as well?
Mainly the UK up until now. This year we did a date at the theatre in Paris on the just looking at my date sheet on the 11th of January. We've been to Jersey, the Opera House in Jersey. We've been to France a couple of times, and this year we're in. We got a date in Switzerland, but mainly it's just the UK. Except for next year, we're off on tour all over Europe.
Fantastic.
But most of the time, it's all over the UK. And believe you me, the UK feels massive whenever you're sat there going from east to west, from the north to the south, you know what I mean?
I do.
yeah.
Okay. Next question. I know you haven't got a huge amount of time.
Right.
Do you feel a sense of responsibility to his legacy when you perform as him and play his music?
Yes, this is a battle that I often have because I used to be a songwriter and my songwriting career has been put up on the shelf because of this show. Mm. So I feel as though I want to do Johnny Cash the best justice that I can, but I'm not a Johnny Cash impersonator. I'm a Johnny Cash tribute artist,
yeah.
So I pay tribute to Johnny Cash, unlike a lot of these Elvis impersonators.
Okay, so would you say, therefore, would you find it somewhat restrictive to perform the songs, you know, as close to the original as possible?
No, I strive to perform them exactly the way that people expect them, but because that's the natural way that I actually sing. In any case, and I do try to get into the character, but I also try to be myself.
Okay. So, what are the challenges that you face really performing the music of another artist as opposed to your own music? How do you find that different? What are the different challenges?
With any other artist, I find it quite difficult, but with Johnny Cash, it just seems to come very, very, very naturally to me. If that's a bit of a boring answer, then I'm sorry.
No, well, that's good. That's good. Okay, which of his songs are your favourites and why?
I always get asked this question.
Yeah, it is an obvious one. Yeah.
I like them all, but I like Thing Called Love. That was written by a songwriter back in the 60s or 70s, rather,
okay.
Called Jerry Reed, who was a fabulous songwriter and guitar player. It was Jerry Reed that actually wrote, that composed and played the song on Guitar Man. For Elvis.
Okay.
So, Thing Called Love, Johnny Cash, and Sunday Morning Coming Down, written by Mr. Kris Kristofferson.
Mm.
And obviously, I Walk the Line.
I mean, you know, a lot of those are early classics. What about the later stuff when, you know, when he's getting near the end of his life and he was doing the American series?
It's very deep and it's very interesting to listen to, and it definitely brings across the younger audience. And in the show, we do include we play Hurt and the man comes
around
yeah. Which is two of the last songs that he did. But personally, I prefer the earlier years.
Okay. I mean, also, one of the things with Johnny Cash, he was a bit of a rebel, a bit of an alternative figure, and even the late 60s, early 70s, a lot of the artists of that time respected him. Even my own personal hero, Neil Young, was on the Johnny Cash show back in the early 70s.
Yes.
And he certainly crossed over to that audience and did some songs and of that time.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that period? You know, it kind of sits between the two, doesn't it? His early days when he was very much a mainstream artist, the late days when he got rediscovered, and then those...
I feel that he was at the peak of his popularity when he was doing... Basically, when he did the prison shows, Folsom Prison at first in 1968, and then San Quentin in 1969... I think that really boosted his popularity, and that's what gave him the qualifications, if you like, to have his own television show.
Mm.
And through his own TV show, he was able then to support other artists, such as Bob Dylan and Neil Young and so many other artists. What was your question again?
I assume you do some of those songs, and you know, how do you think that fits, kind of sits with the rest of his material, the early days and the kind of late, more melancholy kind of stuff, and how he's respected. How does that fit into your show and how you approach it?
Well, we do everything. The show, I think the show, I haven't counted them, but it contains at least 36 songs. And it's from everything, from the earlier years, right from the first songs, Cry, 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 through to the funnier songs further on in the early 70s, such as One Piece at a Time and Boy Named Sue.
I mean, you also have someone doing the Dune role and the Carter family. Do you do Carter Family numbers too? Do you kind of go back to those early 30s songs?
There is a section during the show where I walk off and my June Carter, Jill, that's her name, she sits and does a solo song by June Carter, which is a very old, very, very old country song that dates back to the 1860s.
Right, okay.
And so that's all almost like a very, very traditional folklore song, Wildwood Flower. That's
right.
What that one's called. And then if the Carter sisters are on, because I only have the Carter sisters on the bigger shows, then the Carter sisters also come out and they join her for another song.
Okay. Sorry. I was going to just ask, what are your plans for the future? What are you going to do with the show? I mean, you said you're going to be touring in Europe next year.
I'm going to be touring Europe for the first time, so that's an exciting prospect to look forward to. First country is Belgium in March, and then we're coming back home, and then I think the tour hasn't been confirmed, but I think they're talking about doing Germany and Norway and all over the place.
Fantastic. Any plans to go to the States, to Nashville and some of the places that Johnny himself would have played?
I think I probably would do it, but I wouldn't go out of my way to try and surge for it, because there's already so many artists over there doing it.
Yeah.
I'm no longer a hungry, desperate artist, you know what I mean? I just want to be comfortable, you know what I mean?
Okay. So are you still writing and recording your own material?
I'm writing whenever I get the opportunity to, but not as often as I used to, because, of course, the show takes up all of my efforts, because, of course, I do all of the managing of it too. I book all the hotels, I plan the journeys, I look after everybody, I do all the payments and the admin and the marketing and everything else. So that takes up all of my time. And on top of that, I've got a 9-year-old boy and a 6-year-old boy. So I need to look after them too. But when I do get the time, I've been working on some songs, and I've written about 7 new songs. So hopefully there'll be enough there for an album before the end of this year. Yeah.
That sounds great. Okay, thanks for that. We'll end the formal interview now, and I'll stop recording.